So we're going to record this morning's message.
Looks like it. Yeah, it is.
Jonah, picture, big fish. See that all right, everybody?
Yeah.
Yeah? Okay. Jonah's name means dove. There's a picture of a dove. Jonah lived up to his name. Because when God told him to go to the people of Nineveh, he flew away. He did a runner. He escaped. He didn't want to know. He said no way to God. That didn't work out for him. You remember he jumped on a boat, and the boat got into a storm, and the boat was going to sink, and the sailors on the boat asked everybody to pray. We've all been praying this morning. Asked everybody to pray. They identified that Jonah was the root cause of their problem. And Jonah said to them, I've done wrong here. If you offer me up into the sea as a sacrifice, I will be willing to allow myself to be offered up. In the Old Testament, doves were used as a sacrifice for simple people who didn't have a lot of money. So the dove, Jonah, becomes a sacrifice and he gets thrown into the water and the people are rescued and saved. But God didn't let him drown. God put him into the belly of a fish. And in the belly of the fish, in chapter 2, he prays this prayer where he acknowledges that God is the Lord of salvation. And now God says to him a second time, go to the great city of Nineveh and proclaim a message. The dove is a messenger. Do you remember when Noah was in the ark? He sent a dove out to test the waters to see whether there was suitable land to rest upon. And a dove was sent out. First time it came back with an olive branch. Second time it didn't come back. It had found a nest. It had found a home. Jonah here is sent out again by God as a messenger. And of course, finally, we see from this chapter that Jonah the messenger brings a message to these people, and this was the source of their peace and their safety, because it says at the end of the chapter, God saw their response to the message and he repented, he had compassion upon them, and he didn't bring judgment and destruction. So again, Jonah the dove, the symbol of the people's peace through his actions and the mission that he took. Jonah, in the end of chapter 2, has experienced for himself the mercy of God and says salvation comes from the Lord. I said that the book of Jonah shows the character of God. Four little chapters, but shows the character of God. I don't know if you can all see that. It's a strong feature of a book with only 47 verses in it, spread across four chapters. And we see God showing mercy to Jonah. We see God showing compassion to a people that were wicked. We see that there is a transformation in the character of Jonah, who first of all rebels and then recognizes that his salvation is in God. And he now desires to honor God. And God doesn't just ignore him after failing. And that's an interesting thing you need to hear today. God doesn't just put you to one side when you fall down, when you fail to do what he wants you to do. He doesn't put you to one side and he doesn't put Jonah to one side. The character of God is such that he longs to save people. He calls to those who are far from perfect, like Jonah, like the people of Nineveh. And he's recommissioned Jonah, because God doesn't give up easily. You might know people that give up at the first attempt when things get difficult. God does not give up easily. He gives second chances. And here, to Jonah today, he gives him another opportunity to go and do this job, this ministry that he'd been birthed by God to do. He will fulfill it. There's an interesting thing, isn't there, when we see characters in our lives, I know loads of them, who've got potential, that God has birthed something in them, but they're struggling a little bit with that calling, and they reject that calling, and sometimes many years pass, before they recognise just what it is that they're supposed to be doing. And we find, through the grace of God, that they return back to that calling. Sometimes people don't. Sometimes people live a life without satisfaction. And the root of that is because they never know God. They never know that Jesus is their saviour. They never know what their purpose to do. Another little picture there for you. I hope you can see that okay. Here we've got a washed up man. Jonah, washed up on the seashore. At the back, some of you may see that there's this fish going off into the background that's just vomited up Jonah onto the seashore. By the command of God, the fish vomits Jonah up. Now Jonah is rescued. Now Jonah is in the fresh air again. He's in the light, because it would have been dark, remember, in the fish. And it wouldn't have smelt very nice either, would it, to be honest? And he's happy, and he's got a little bit of a smile on his face. Perhaps he can still smell the fish vomit on his clothes and in his hair, and he's going to go and wash them out in a minute, isn't he, of course? But at this moment in time, he's just grateful that he's been saved. And he's humble as well now, isn't he? He's gone through a humbling experience. You may remember I said that the book of Jonah is about learning lessons in uncomfortable places. Jonah has been in an uncomfortable place, hasn't he? I don't think washing his clothes will wash away the memory of what he's passed through in these last 3 days. I don't think cleaning his hair in the sea will in any way get out of his head what he passed through. Maybe that'll take a little bit later in his memory, because certainly in the end of the book he seems to forget all what God had done for him, didn't he? But right now, let's think about right now. Jonah's there, focused upon wanting to serve God. Nothing else matters to him. He's ready to pay a debt that he'd vowed in the belly of the fish. I vow I will keep my promise to you. And, you know, whatever happens, you're the Lord of salvation. And I'm gonna preach that in my life, whatever life I've got left. Whatever happens, I'm ready to pay my debt back to you. He's a prophet of God. He's restored. And when you're in a restored state, you're more likely to hear God's voice than when you're not. And here, the word of the Lord, it says at the opening of our chapter, comes a second time. Go to the great city of Nineveh and proclaim the message that I give you. It's the same command that he'd rebelled against before. But now he's ready to obey it. And he sets off to a great city, trusting in God for his future. As well as being a book about the character of God and the different ways in which humans react to God, what you find is obedience to God in strange places, in unexpected quarters. If you read the book of Jonah, you'll find obedience in lots of different places, but you'll only find disobedience in one place. Let me explain. When God commanded the wind showed up. When God commanded the storm, the storm showed up. When God spoke to the sailors, the sailors responded. When God spoke to the fish and commanded it, it responded. The response to the commands of God are seen in the book of Jonah by lots of different places. But the one who's disobedient is Jonah initially. Who would have thought that a prophet anointed by God would be disobedient to God? Well, it reveals the character of the human nature, doesn't it? Surprising that someone who says that they are a follower of God should be disobedient. And again, who would have thought that a great and almighty God that had control over all these elements, the storm, the sea, the great fish, who would have thought that God, who is so great, would decide to give a second chance to somebody that had let him down? That would decide to create a fresh opportunity, a fresh job opportunity, shall we say, to someone who thought they've lost their job opportunity today. They've blown their job. They've messed up. And therefore, God won't create anything else for them. God here creates this job opportunity for Jonah. That's an encouraging thing for us today. Put a picture of a stopwatch on there with the word time on it. Timing is important. Timing is everything. Do you think that Jonah there on the beach would have responded to God in his own time? Do you think Jonah would have given himself a couple of weeks off to just get over the stress and the anxiety of what he's passed through? Give himself a little rest, a little recuperation, a little bit of time to reflect on this traumatic thing that he passed through? Do you think that's what Jonah would have done? Do you think he would have said, "Oh, yeah, God's command, I can get round to that another time"? Or I think he'd learnt his lesson in an uncomfortable place about that. The longer that you put off doing something for God, the easier it is for other things to get in, and you find you'll never do that that God has called you to do. There's lots of excuses as to why you shouldn't do this, but there's really only one reason why you should do it, because God has called you to do it. And that's the most important thing, responding to the command of God in his time, at his calling. There's no further time to be lost here. It's like, bang, the stopwatch is on, the clock is ticking. Jonah says, "I've got to go. I've got to go to these people. I need these people to hear this message." It's an urgent pressing in upon Jonah. And he says, "I can't really find a reason why not to do this. I'm going to go and do it." There's no time to be wasted. We know when it comes to salvation, there is no time to be wasted. Which gives us a little bit of urgency when we are speaking to people about Jesus, I would hope. There's no time to be wasted. No time to be lost. And Jonah has to come to terms with his own dramas and everything that's happened as he's off in ministry. And that sometimes is what happens. Generally, that's what happens to people. We have to work out in our ministry the things that have happened. And those will be opportunities to sometimes share those things. And sometimes it's not appropriate to share those things. Those will be lessons for us to express in different ways. It's really good that God says, "I want you to go and proclaim a message to these people." Because just as God had not given up on Jonah, he'd not given up on the Ninevites either. And Jonah obeys and Jonah goes. And we recognise that it's really a big city. It's a big task. And as I said to you in the first week, would it be something that you'd want to do when you were called to do it? God has a great love for all people of the world. God has got the welfare of sinners upon his heart. Have we got that same love? Had Jonah got that same love? Well, I don't know whether he had, to be honest with you. The more you scratch the surface of Jonah, the more you find him responding in a different way. And in chapter 4 you'll see that negativity that comes back to him again, as if he'd forgot everything that he'd passed through. But all Jonah knows is that these are people deserving the judgment of God, and his role was to go out and speak it. This is a chapter of 10 verses only. 10 verses, little chapter. It's rather than being a long narrative, it's like headlines, isn't it? Instant headlines. Jonah goes, Jonah does this, and Jonah's off. There's a brief description which gives us a stronger focus upon God's purpose. God's determined purpose is boiled down here in these 10 verses. Boiled down, headlines. We know that Jonah had failed before, we know that God had not given up on him, and we know that God was not deterred by his past, but God had got a purpose of grace for these people, and he'd got a person who was going to deliver it that had been a failure and a rebel. That should fill us with confidence that God can use anybody. And if we trust him and focus on him, he will guide us in our ministries. This book should be teaching us, let's not be careless when it comes to God. Let's not put it off. Let's not think it doesn't really matter what we do. If God had chosen Jonah, and God had let Jonah pass through all these experiences, but had got his hand upon him, and if God had recommissioned Jonah again, that tells us that God has specific people to do a specific role that no one else is going to do. So don't kid yourself by saying somebody else is going to do that. I know God will find somebody else, because he didn't find somebody else, did he? He found Jonah, he stuck with Jonah, and Jonah eventually did what he should have done in the first place. I think these experiences that Jonah went through, this is just a personal thing, I think they were really effective. They were really effective because as soon as Jonah opened his mouth, as soon as he obeyed God, from the very first day, people turned to God. From the very first day. He was more equipped than ever before because of the experiences that he'd passed through. And Jonah had no desire to add a single word to what God had told him to do. To flower it up, to dress it up, to perhaps present it with a nice PowerPoint, or do something in a more interesting style. No, Jonah keeps it simple. He's urgent in his mission, he's obedient in his mission, and he's simple in his message as well. He didn't give them the story about how he'd been in the belly of a fish for 3 days, did he? He didn't think, I know, I'll pepper this with, you want to do this because let me tell you where I've been through. Just be mindful of the fact that people don't want to hear our fishy tales sometimes. They want to hear the gospel. They don't want to know what we've passed through. It doesn't relate to them. Keep the message simple. Be guided by the Spirit of truth. That's what the Word of God tells us to do. Share that message. That's what you've been given to speak upon. So Jonah depends on God, not on his own ability. He don't depend on his own backstory. And God's Word doesn't fail. And that's an important lesson. The Word of God doesn't fail when it's delivered. It says, my word never returns to me empty. It said it would take at least 3 days to pass through this land. 3 days it passed through the belly of the fish. 3 days he passes through this land that seemed very dark and very scary and very dangerous and very life-threatening for Jonah, just like possibly living in the belly of the fish had all those elements to it, the uncertainty of death, the darkness, the unpleasantness. All of those things would have probably been going through Jonah's mind, and yet he passed through those things and he passes through this city. In case you're wondering, by the way, the city of Nineveh was a bad place with a bad reputation. The book of Nahum talks about its history. One of the minor prophets that you'll find around this book of Jonah and around this time, you'll find that they were a city that were built upon false gods. They were a city of people who you like nothing better than going out and robbing and taking from the Israelites and from other places their best treasures and taking them for themselves and probably putting people to death. They were a city that worshipped false gods, had all kind of evil religious practices. Brave of Jonah to go there, don't you think? Brave of Jonah to step through those gates of that city. Perhaps a mission me and you might try and get out of, or at least take a 20 or 30 people with us on a mission trip. But not Jonah. He goes out on his own, and there's a positive response to that. Perhaps if there had been a big gang of them, perhaps the response may have been different. May have been treated with more suspicion. But here's a man making himself vulnerable, isn't he? Going in to a dangerous place. And that vulnerability was responded in a positive way, on a large scale way. Perhaps you are walking your streets this week or next week as part of the Arise Prayer Initiative to pray for the streets where you're living. Perhaps you feel are filled with an element of danger. Perhaps you feel that maybe more people should go with you as you walk those streets and pray them. Here it's telling us that you can be more effective on your praying on your own. By all means, take other people if you want to do that as you walk around. But God can be effective through the ones and the twos as much as he can through the massive crowds. And yet, it's a picture of a man standing up talking to a lot of people, that's what that is, and they're listening to him. And yet before Jonah goes through those gates, I just wonder if God had already gone through those gates first. I just wonder if God had gone before Jonah. I just wonder if God had been speaking to the hearts of those people from all different backgrounds, from the king right down. And I just wonder whether something had been stirring by the Spirit of God before Jonah actually landed there, before actually Jonah went through those gates. Why else would Jonah have been received in such a positive way? He was just another enemy to be taken, wasn't he? The protection of God covers Jonah here as he walks through these streets, and there's this immediate response in the hearts of the people. There was genuine fear of judgment, something we don't see today. We don't see many people having genuine fear when it comes to judgment. And in the statement that the king makes here, he makes this decree or proclamation, and he says, you all go on a fast, you all go into sackcloth, you all put on those clothes that denote mourning rather than rejoicing. Perhaps God will be merciful to us as sinners. Here's an example that a king sets, a leader sets to his people, and he takes off his royal robes and he sits in the ashes and he repents. Here is an enemy ruler, an enemy of God, an enemy to the Israelites, an enemy ruler showing real leadership. How real leadership should be exercised. The equivalent today would be Putin. The equivalent today would be Putin in Russia. Convicted of his evil, convicted of the terrible things that he's done, the self-indulgent power that he's displaying, the power, mad, crazed ways that's affecting him and the lives that he's taking, and the ultimate, you do these things my way approach. From Putin getting up this morning and going, God's real, and I better get myself right with God. What do I need to do? I need to hear some message, and I'm going to tell my countrymen to stop doing what they're doing. I'm going to call all the troops back. I'm going to tell the people to turn to God. That's the equivalent of the massiveness of what was happening. And put your guns down and stop your fighting with Ukraine, and let's make peace and not make war. We can pray for that change in Putin. We know it happens. This chapter tells us that the most powerful man in the most difficult and dangerous country was prepared to repent and was prepared to give his life to God and tell the rest of the people under his leadership to do as well. That's serious stuff, isn't it? That's serious stuff. And the people certainly here recognised the seriousness of Jonah's words. No soft soaping from Jonah, no sugarcoating of message. And the people appreciated that. Your friends will appreciate you being straight with them. Just as we prayed openly and honestly today, your friends will appreciate your honesty. They'll appreciate your honesty, saying, look, you need to know Jesus Christ. He loves you. Father God loves you and cares for you and has got great plans for your life and wants to be part of your life. And he wants you to follow him. But there's nothing wrong in that message, is there? I can't find anything wrong in telling somebody that they're loved and that God has a plan for them. And that God has sent his son to die for them because they mean so much to him. And God doesn't want them to spend the rest of their eternity away from him. Come, have faith and follow Jesus. And the people here did repent. They did turn away. They went on a fast, as I said. Everything was covered with mourning. So I guess I've missed that one. Why have I missed that one? It should have been on there. It should have said there, mission accomplished, but it didn't. I'm not going to pick black next time.
Gone back.
I would pick black. Mission accomplished. Message received and understood, I think we can safely say here. It was only received once by the people of Nineveh, and they responded. Jonah had to be provoked twice by God. You know, it would have been impossible for God to do anything else but to show mercy to these people. He's criticised by Jonah later on for doing that. How can a merciful God do anything else but show compassion when people respond in faith to him and to his word? Whether that's an individual, whether that's a whole city like Sheffield, whether that's a whole nation like Great Britain, United Kingdom, whatever you want to call it, wherever it is, God must respond in compassion when people turn to him. It's impossible for God that he can do otherwise than abundantly pardon and show mercy. Otherwise, God would not be true to his character. And I've said to you before, the book of Jonah is all about telling us the character of God. It's only a small book, but there's loads of room in this small book to discover the character of God. And it's certainly been something that's been impressed upon my heart. I've known the story of Jonah many years. I've read the book many times. But as I've done a little study upon it, I've seen the character of God coming out and being completely consistent. We know that God has displayed his character through Jesus Christ. The person that I believe is my saviour, and I have trusted him, And I hope that you do too. And this chapter leaves us in no doubt that God's mercy can cover a great city like Nineveh and everyone that's in it, just as much as it can cover us as well. But we need to accept that love and we need to accept that mercy if they're going to work their work. Can't force it upon you today, and you can't force it upon anyone else today, even though God is trying to get through today to people that we know and that we love. And they have still got a choice. They can reject this message or they can accept it. If they reject it, they'll face the consequences. If they accept it, they'll receive the benefits. This chapter today shows us the character of God. It's far from God's character to condemn and to judge people. He doesn't want to do it. He didn't want to do it here. He turned away from doing it once they responded to him. And he doesn't want to do it in the lives of those that we love. So if you are praying today for a loved one who doesn't know God, know that God does not want to judge that person, who wants to bring them into a heavenly family. That's his character. He's gracious, he's merciful, he's slow to anger. He's abounding in love. I have some questions here, but I'm not going to have to go up to the board. Ever spoke out against something you felt to be wrong? Jonah speaks out against the wrong situation in Nineveh. How often do you say no to God? Have you got a prophetic gift? I know that some of you have a prophetic gift here today. Now you might have put that down for a while. It's time to pick it up again. Jonah put it down for a while. It was a prophet and he had to live up to what God had created him to be. And you prophets need to do the same. Pick up your prophetic gift again. Ask God about that prophetic gift. Ask him to show you in words and pictures what he's trying to say to you. What he's trying to say to the church. What he's trying to say to the community. Are we just too busy to hear from God? In our busyness, can we hear clearly the voice of God and his words for us? He wants to encourage you today. He wants to say, look, there's more. Follow me. Step out into this. Have that conversation that seems a little bit difficult. Don't worry, as I protected Jonah from the Ninevites, I'll protect you from your schoolmates, I'll protect you from your workmates, I'll protect you from your neighbours, because I'm God. I've got a track record, and I deliver, and he certainly does. In the light of world events, I've spoken about Russia, I've spoken about Putin, haven't I, this morning? World events, lots of chaos that's happening around. Is there anything that we can learn from this story today? And is there anything that we can learn from the people of Nineveh? Yes. I can learn the fact that they may have been far away from God, but they turned to him. They just needed to hear a message. And the time was right and appropriate. So in all the chaos that's happening in the world, keep praying. Keep praying. As you see at the back there, there's a map with all the countries where Christians are being persecuted. There's a list there of the top countries where the name of God, for many people, is a death sentence. Faith in Jesus Christ is the end of their liberties and their freedoms. Take a picture on your phone of that map and take it away with you and share it with your Christian brothers and sisters and your parents and those that you know, and pray about that. Perhaps pray about it in school, pray about it in your school groups or with fellow Christians. World events are happening. Things are happening and they seem really serious, but God is wanting to get involved and he's wanting you to get involved in that too. As I said to you before, it's surprising. It's surprising the people that will be obedient to God's word. Let's pray.